The late Atlantis Symphony music director and choral giant Robert Shaw was given a daunting task during the 1996 Olympics in Atlanta. The Atlanta Committee for the Olympic Games and the Olympic Organization wanted Beethoven's Ode to Joy to be performed during the opening ceremony, and they wanted a translation with more of a universal flavor, not an exact translation of Friedrich Schiller's text. So Shaw was given the task. Here's the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra chorus administrator, Jeffrey Baxter, reading the text Shaw came up with.
Joyful all ye sons and daughters, earth's become a neighborhood. Sing ye people all together, celebrate the common good. Nations, races, clans, and colors share this world and destiny. Each must share with all the others. Freedom rings when all are free.
Along with being the administrator, Jeffrey Baxter is a longtime member of the ASO chorus, and he performed at the opening ceremony of the Atlanta Olympics. I spoke with him about that experience and about the intricacies of Robert Shaw's involvement. So there were two surprises at the opening ceremonies.
Yes, indeed. One was the big reveal of who would light the torch at the end. No one knew, except Billy Payne. and so we're all eagerly awaiting that, and we're trying to also follow the conductor and sing at this point. But of course, it was Muhammad Ali, and he came out there a little tentatively, slowly at first, and there lit the torch. And of course, when people realized who it was, the crowd went berserk, including us too, So this loud raucous from the crowd, and we sort of wait, and finally the thing was lit, and we finished the big finish of this Beethoven, and I don't think anyone heard a note of it. You can hear it in the broadcast. I watched it the other night. Oh, no, it's on YouTube, now, and you can hear the music, but I think in the actual stadium, no one heard anything at that point except cheering.
Cheering for Muhammad
Yes.
Ali. But if there had to be anything playing in the background, why not the Ode to
Joy? Oh, yeah.
Joy?
No, it was a great choice. It was perfect.
But there's something that I don't quite understand here.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Shaw was scheduled or was not originally scheduled to appear.
Right. No, he was originally invited. Don Mischer that was the big first invite. And it was a big year for him. He just turned 80. And on his 80th birthday, we were in New York when he had a little bit of a health scare. And so things were a little in and out. And so he sort of withdrew from it later on, but had been there with us, had done this arrangement, and we had actually pre-recorded it with him in studio sessions there about a month earlier.
You pre-recorded it because you would just be lip-syncing?
Yes, we pre-recorded every note of every piece of music for the entire opening ceremonies. Everyone did.
I guess those were the days of Milli Vanilli.
Yes, it was. Well, I sang, but, there was no mic on me. But, yes, no, we had recorded all of that music over a span of probably about a week with him and Mr. Levy and various other conductors and artists like Jesse Norman and others.
So Mr. Shaw had decided not to appear because of his health.
He was worried about it. He had come back to, I don't know where he was, but he had flown out of town and had sort of resigned himself to not participate. Didn't feel like he was well enough, I guess. But about a week before, Nola Frink and I picked him up at the airport, and Nola Frink, Robert Shaw's personal assistant and my predecessor at the Atlanta Symphony, and I don't know if it was a combination of him being a backseat driver or me just chatting with him, but I took a wrong turn coming back, and we ended up not on 85, the downtown connector, but on Northside Drive. So it took a little longer to get home, but in consequently, we drove by the Georgia Dome and the kind of close to all these venues, and he saw all that preparation. It sort of hit him, oh, this is real. I think he got kind of excited by it. And wouldn't you know, the next day, Nola's taking him down to get credentialed with John Williams and others. And so he agreed to appear just to do the national anthem, and then he conducted that. And that was the other big surprise. We didn't know he would be there, and out he walked, and there he was to conduct us.
There was actually mention of the arrangement of the national anthem music.
That's right. The executive producer, Don Mischer, had requested it. He knew it from an old Robert Shaw Chorale 1960s recording. It's an unusual version that begins softly and slowly and sweetly and builds. And for some reason, he wanted that and knew of it, and Shaw agreed to it and it seemed to work.
Some other stories about the chorus performances during the actual Olympic Arts Festival.
Yes. The day after the park bombing, our orchestra played an opera gala with William Fred Scott and the chorus of the Atlanta Opera, and Dame Gwyneth Jones, famed Welsh soprano, singing Act Two of Turandot, and tensions were high, and sure enough, during the concert, I don't know if it was during intermission or what, but everyone was assembled on stage, all of us, and the audience was there. The ushers had ushered everyone in, and we were sort of put on lockdown until a suspicious package could be cleared in the lobby. It proved to be nothing, but, you know, everyone was, it seemed like hours. You know, and I guess, boy, wow, 20 years ago, that was, who knew, you know, that kind of thing would be sort of so commonplace now. Yeah, that was a tense moment. And then, you know, it took weeks to the police search. We didn't know who did it or why, and it took a long time to find that out. And so the very last thing, right before the closing ceremonies, we did two performances of the Mahler's Second Symphony, the Resurrection Symphony, to sort of close the Cultural Olympiad. And that whole bombing business sort of gave that those performances a certain not gravitas, but impetus.
You know. Had that been chosen after the bombing?
No. That was had been planned long in advance. It just proved fortuitous, you know, that it were, you know, this.
Another layer of meaning.
And yes, indeed. As that often happens with pieces like that in classical music, you know, each time you hear them under different circumstances, they lend a new insight.
Jeff, you have many years in different capacities with the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra Chorus. You've toured with them in Europe. You've been to Carnegie Hall numerous times, mm-hmm. Berlin with Donald Runicles. What are your most vivid recollections of these performances during the Olympics? What stays with you most?
Well, seeing Robert Shaw walk out unannounced, well, he was announced, but we weren't sure he was going to be there, and to actually see him come out there and direct the national anthem, that was quite a surprise and a wonderful thing that happened. Unfortunately, the networks didn't broadcast his face. You hear his name, I watched it the other night, you hear his name announced, but we saw his face, he was facing us, and that was quite a moment there.
Well, in this, the centenary of his birth, in addition to the 20-year anniversary of the Olympics, I would say that is a treasured memory.
Yes, it is.
Jeffrey Baxter, thank you very much.
Thank you.